on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria. Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially if this is who I call to film Nigeria. There's still be among Nigeria than you and
I. We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Ineoluwa Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Donso Bikini.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the port.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
Lagos, let's have a conversation about breastfeeding today. What are the real experiences of breastfeeding mothers? That's our big conversation on the Big Hard Fact today. As you know, child nutrition and maternal health are crucial indicators for the economy and society. Yeah? And breastfeeding is a central part of both. That's why all the governmental and non-governmental institutions that focus on public health pay attention to breastfeeding data. And yet, outside of government offices and health centers, we don't have enough conversations in the public space about the realities of this very important topic. And it brings me to our big hard fact today. According to a 2018 World Bank report, 28.7 Nigerian children under 6 months are breastfed exclusively. Now, the World Health Organization has been encouraging a target of 50%. But as far as I hear from a lot of mothers that I know, this is easier said than done. You know, and it's led me to wonder whether this is one of those situations where targets are set in offices with without a full consideration of the human angle of how to achieve these targets. And while I was thinking about that, the topic of breastfeeding and the pressure on new mothers to get it done came up on social media. So I said to myself, Sandra, this is a sign. You need to have this conversation. And that's why here we are today discussing it. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about why breastfeeding has taken on the importance it has policy-wise. But we're also going to mainly talk about the experiences of mothers, the challenges of breastfeeding, the realities of breastfeeding. So that the next time that you're having a conversation or you have an opinion about this subject, you can see it from all sides. I have a full house to talk about this. We're trying to get in touch with some of our guests via Skype. It's not looking very possible at the moment, but we'll keep trying. But my first guest is a writer for film, TV, and the stage. But she's here today as a mother, Ijeoma Ogwebu. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you. Well done.
And my second guest is also a mother. She's a communications consultant by day, and every other time of the day, she's a mom. Tolagbe Martins, thank you so much for joining us on Hard Facts.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming back, actually. This is our third time on Hard Facts.
I know, right?
Here to give us expert information on how how to take care of children's needs, because, you know, the children's needs have to be presented at the table, the insights as far as the children are concerned, is a pediatrician, Dr. Aya Renner. Welcome to Hard Facts. Aya, you need to flip your camera. You're like sideways. Flip it again. Flip the camera again. No. I don't know. The tech guy is going to solve that problem. So you and I are not doing it while we're live on air. But But Lagos, as we talk, let's hear from you as well. So call with your questions, call with your experiences. If you're a new mother, would like to hear from you. How has your breastfeeding journey been? Did you opt not to breastfeed? What's it been like for you? What's your story been like? Tell us all about it. Tell us how it's been for you. And even if you're not a new mom and you don't have questions, you can just call in and share your experience or share your stories with it. Now, I'll start with Ijoma and then I'll come to Tolagbe. When I talk to some of my friends who are new moms, they say that they did not know enough about breastfeeding and what it would be like before they had their baby. Ijoma, is there a tendency to be quiet about this very natural thing? And what's causing that?
Basically, of course, what's causing it is to give women more information. They might be better able to make their choices. But unfortunately, when you live in a patriarchal society, the society feels it's best to hide this thing, or else these men might not be interested in doing it.
Oh, I see. So you're saying the reason people don't talk about it is because if they talk about it, women may not want to do it?
On social media, on Twitter, actually, every time I talk about things like this, you will hear men come into the comments and say, why are you talking about this thing? Why are you trying to scare the women? Why are you? And I'm like, is this not better that the person has full information? Because what happens to you, because you don't have all the information, is that when it happens, it is such a big deal. It becomes, like something you didn't expect to experience. Yeah, here you are experiencing it. And when you even speak about it, everybody's like, oh, no, it's okay. Everybody, we all suffer this. Don't take it like that. Instead of letting the woman or the woman have all the information that she needs, then if she decides that she wants to breastfeed it, then it will be from an informed position.
Let me come to Tolagbe. Tolagbe, is there a tendency to be quiet about this thing? And do you have some insight as to why?
I think like most things that have to do with women.
Come closer to the mic.
I think with most things that have to do with women, there tends to be a mixture of muddled information and taboo, right? So we have a mix up where breastfeeding is, after all, nature's way of ensuring that a mother can feed her baby, right? When you talk about the advantages of breastfeeding, there is no mixing, there's no sterilizing, there is no additional cost beyond the extra food that a mother requires.
Right.
And breast milk in itself is such a wonderful thing. And, I almost want to anticipate the doctors coming on to say that all the studies have shown that breast milk is magical, almost magical, in the way that it adapts to the nutritional needs of a baby.
Okay.
As recently as this COVID pandemic, COVID-positive mothers have put pictures of their breast milk, their breast milk from before pre-COVID and post-COVID. And you can see the difference in consistency, almost like the molecules are different because of the antibodies in the milk are responding to what's going on in their bodies to protect their babies, right?
Oh, wow.
So that's why it's actually so magical. And as a mother who has managed to breastfeed, I think my fear is just about, or my concern is why the messaging is so extremist.
Okay.
It's always all or nothing.
Okay.
Exclusively for 6 months. And then, so therefore, if you can't do it exclusively for 6 months, you're a failure. Whereas the messaging should be that whatever you can do is okay. This idea that we need to excel at everything, like International Women's Day was just this week. And I just want women to be free to be mediocre. let's just be normal, right? Honestly. And so, in particular, what I find most interesting about breastfeeding is how the messaging has changed over the years and the attitudes. When I was trying to exclusively breastfeed my first son, who's going to be 13, my mother-in-law and my mother were both looking at me so skeptically, like, what is this child? Why is this girl killing herself? Formula is everywhere. What is all this? Because you see, there's a process, right, of adjusting.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. You're trying to find what they call the latch, right?
Mm, yeah.
Which is the perfect way for the baby to hook on to the breast.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a, you know, there's, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And there's trial and error. And it's painful. It's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to be encouraged to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about the traditional way in which we used to nurture mothers, mm-hmm. the omugwo, etc., that's precisely what it was designed to do,
to
right?
To teach.
Mm-hmm. So, and also so that you didn't have to think about anything else but you and the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So in an ideal world, of course it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then someone still needs to tell you that the first day the milk comes in, you feel such a temperature, you will feel a fever, you'll be in pain and discomfort. Mm. So these things have to be normalized and discussed ahead, right? So that people feel a bit more comfortable about what is a natural process.
Mm.
But as I said, if you can't do it, it shouldn't be the end of the world either.
Dr. Ayo, let me come to you. As a pediatrician, could you explain the push? Because you've had the moms on the show speak on the issue. So talk to me about the push for exclusive breastfeeding in the first 6 months. We have a choice of formula or breast milk. Is there something the child is losing or gaining with one and not the other?
Yes, thank you very much, Sandra. I think the mothers have given a very important insight to why, from the mother's point of view, breastfeeding is absolutely essential. But from a health standpoint, one of the most important indicators or the important predictors of survival of a child beyond his fifth birthday is exclusive breastfeeding in the first 6 months of life. I mean, this is one of the child survival strategies. I mean, these are strategies that were developed by UNICEF to determine how well or to promote
Dr. Ayo? Okay, his network is not connecting. I think what we're going to have to do is call him over the phone so that we don't keep dealing with this problem. Because I, quite frankly, I want to have a very smooth conversation with Dr. Ayo. So let's try and switch that up and have him join us over the phone. But let me come to the moms again. In your circle, Ijoma, I'm going to come to you with this question. In your social circles, is breastfeeding something that is expected of moms, or is it something that is considered nice but not necessary? Or is it something that is it expected that mothers will not do it? I ask that because as I did my research, it turns out that every socioeconomic grouping has a different attitude to it. Because Tolabwe mentioned that her mom and her grandmother were like, why are you trying to kill yourself, my friend?
Exactly.
What is it like in your group?
You know, I was going to say, to go back to that point, Ola gave me, I'm in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were born, there was the the fact then was baby food.
Absolutely.
Was formula. You understand? So it was, in fact, the same way the nurses go to health centers now to tell the people about, oh, you need to breastfeed, this is what, why it's good. This was what was being done in the 70s. Basically, at that time, it was almost like formula was almost like a status symbol.
Hmm.
So if you breastfed, I mean, if you gave your child formula, that meant that you were a bit more sophisticated than others. So sometimes, yes, the messaging starts to change when we get more information, but there's a space there where it doesn't really work for many people.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, what I've seen here, like you said, with us, it's either you do it or not at all. I've been in health centers where a mother and a child have come to get their vaccination, and then the child is hungry, and the mother brings out baby food. In this case, she wasn't actually the mother of the child.
Okay.
The mother of the child was still and at home.
Okay.
So this young lady who brought her, brought out baby food. The matron at the health center kicked her out. As in, just kicked her out, asked her to leave, that she wasn't going to sit here and be feeding this child formula.
Hmm.
So there's no room for me personally, around people that are I've had around me have been able to do the same thing of finding a balance. Yes, breast milk is good, but for some people, it doesn't happen. So instead of us making this young woman who, and you know from that first 3 months after having your child, you don't know anything. You're basically just learning as you go along. And then to now put the pressure, so much pressure on women to say, for your child to survive and survive even, then the child needs to be on that. And what do we end up doing with that? What we end up doing is traumatizing not just mothers, but also the children. Because we know that a mother's mental health actually affects kind of breast milk that her body produces.
Interesting.
So when we insist and put women under all that pressure, we are not really, you know, getting the best for that child or getting the best nutrition for that child.
We've got Dr. Ayo back on the line now. Dr. Ayo, you were saying that if you want your child to live past five, then exclusive breastfeeding is recommended,
It's highly recommended. Yes, it is. And we even need to survive past the age of 5 years.
Say that again. The line started breaking up.
Even when the child does survive beyond his fifth birthday, exclusive breastfeeding protects the child against non-communicable diseases like allergies, so things like asthma. So if a child is exclusively breastfed, they are less likely to develop asthma and allergies. And some people, and new research has actually emerged that even children who are exclusively breastfed are less likely to develop obesity later in life, less likely to develop hypertension and coronary heart disease. In comparison, now, the truth of the matter is that formula production and preparation has advanced to such a level that they have tried, you know, to, within the limits of their capacity, to reach or mimic what breast milk looks like. So in terms of composition of protein, carbohydrates, there are very good formulas out there. However, you do find those formulas that if you use them, the child might be predisposed to things like cow's milk protein allergies, increased risk of lactose intolerance, increased risk of other food allergies later in life. And for some formulas that have an increased amount of protein than the child requires, they can develop obesity in infancy and later in life, and also hypertension and other non-communicable diseases. So if anyone was to make a choice and they are able to do it, exclusive breastfeeding is highly recommended.
Now, I need to ask you this question, Dr. Ayo, then I'll ask the mothers this question as well.
Okay.
What are the biggest or most common misconceptions about breastfeeding that you've heard or seen out there? In your experience, in your knowledge, what's the actual truth about these misconceptions?
So one of the misconceptions that I have come across in my practice is the idea that the milk that comes out in the first few days is dirty and needs to be thrown away. Now, that milk is called colostrum and it's called liquid gold in our circles because it has antibodies, immunoglobulins, and other factors that prevent infection, both in the newborn period and later in life. Another misconception, you know, that is quite common is the idea that if you get pregnant, you should stop breastfeeding. That's a pretty common misconception. I mean, you can actually still continue to breastfeed. I know some obstetricians will say, oh, no, you have to stop. But if the mother feels up to breastfeeding while she's pregnant within the limits of her abilities, then she can actually continue. It doesn't really pose a huge risk. She might just have to have a few extra meals just you know, to keep the metabolism going. And, you know, those are the two that I think of right off the top of my head right now. I'm sure there are quite a handful of others that the moms will be able to,
Help with that. Tolabwe, can you think of any?
So I think the most obvious one is somehow that there's a correlation between breast size and ability to produce milk.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that one is completely debunked because it really just depends. It's another thing that's like, it's quite idiosyncratic, right? So that's definitely one. I think there's also the perception perhaps that, I think the messaging now is about how much breastfeeding helps you to snap back. You know, it's just one more layer of pressure. And by snap back, we mean magically revert to your pre-pregnancy shape and size with, you know, like just with the wave of a wand.
Of
you
a breast.
Know. Yes. Exactly. With the wave of a boob, and suddenly you're back to whatever size you were before. Yeah. So that's one big thing. It's one of the ways in which breastfeeding is being sold now. Mm-hmm. You know, being pressured that, you know, it helps you lose weight. It causes the uterus to contract. I'm not saying that the science isn't there, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying these are not facts, but mm-hmm. I'm saying that that's one of the sort of the big sells. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps you drop the weight.
To get more and more mothers to do it.
Yes, and not everybody, you know, it will vary from one individual to another.
Let me ask you, Joma.
Yeah.
Same question. What are some of the misconceptions about breastfeeding? The biggest, the most common ones that you've heard of, seen? And what's the truth? What's the actual truth about them?
Biggest one for me is that breastfeeding is deep. That's the biggest one. And that also works for pressure on a lot of young moms because they've been told breastfeeding is easy. Just put your baby there and the baby will feed. But I mean, we find out that so many things can affect either quality or quantity of breastfeeding.
Okay.
Including how you carry the child, including how soon you're able to breastfeed the child. Some people, their breast milk doesn't come in the first week or the first 2 weeks. You know, okay. And that makes women start to feel like, okay, how come this thing that is easy for everyone else? Why is it so hard for me?
Mm.
That also is thrown into the emotional mix of what the mother is going through in those first 3 months. Mm-hmm. I already said that's a very difficult period, both for physically, hormonally, and all of this.
Right.
So to also then have another added layer of, if you couldn't breastfeed your child, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a dirty secret now. If you give your child formula, you're almost sneaking to give the child formula because that's how much the pressure has become, right? You know? And so you're starting to have conversations now where people are saying fed is best, you know? Forget breast, forget formula, fed. Let the child just eat, right? You know?
I wonder what Ayo thinks about that. Fed is best. Because these are his babies you're talking about.
You know, fed is best. Let me just say, so the normal misconception before I go to fed is best is the idea that if a mother stops breastfeeding, so for instance, she's separated from the child for a week for one reason or the other, health reason, something, and, you know, she wants to give the child the breast milk again. Some people feel that the breast, it has turned sour, that is now yogurt, that maybe perhaps, oh, don't give the child, if you give the child falls. That's the same conception. If you breed your patient for some time, whatever breast milk was produced, absorbed the mother's effect, and she can safely give the child whatever, you know, milk she's able to. Now, about fed is best, what I do know for a fact is that if you were to give birth in the U.S., they will ask you to produce milk for them. They'll come and want to collect the colostrum and the breast milk. But before your milk comes in, they will administer formula to that infant.
Mm.
And that is because in the newborn period, you really want a child to have what's higher.
Oh, your line is breaking up, and I really want to hear what you're saying. I really want to hear what you're saying. Yes, it's better now.
Okay, sorry. What did you hear me say last?
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
In the U.S., what they do is that they attempt to, you know, obtain milk from the mother. They encourage her to lactate. They get a lactation consultant, put the baby to the breast. But sometimes the milk just doesn't come in as early or as quickly as is necessary. And so what they do is that they will offer the child formula, because they will let you know that we're offering the child formula. And that is because they don't want the child to have what we call hypoglycemia, which is a low blood sugar level.
Okay.
Because the brains of newborns are particularly susceptible to low blood sugar levels, to the extent that they can have, you know, subclinical brain damage. It's not obvious clinically, but certain brain cells are being affected by that low blood sugar level. And also, if it gets low enough, they can have convulsions. And so we just don't want that to happen. And so in the U.S., they will immediately offer the child formula to keep the blood sugar level stable until the milk comes in. And as soon as the milk comes in, then they offer the mother the milk, they offer the child the milk. So that is a true example of fed is best. They are not waiting for your milk. If your milk decides to come in the following week, what happened? So they keep the show moving.
Keep the show going.
So I'm glad.
Can I just add a caveat to that?
Okay.
So you know, the matter is that when it comes to Africa, because formula can be quite expensive, and what we've seen is that some mothers say, okay, let me give formula, and they're not able to sustain formula in terms of the quantity, because a child can finish a tin of formula in 3 days if they have a particularly large appetite.
Mm.
And so some mothers might want to dilute the formula a little bit and then, you know, add more water than is required. And so the child is not getting as much calories, as much protein from the formula as, you know, one would like, which is why pediatricians always advocate and say, because the majority of the nation is actually living in below the poverty line, and it's not sustainable for a lot of families to actually feed formula. So that is why we always push for saying, you know what, breast milk is best. If you can afford formula and for some reason or the other you can't breastfeed, then by all means do so, but discuss with your pediatrician.
So hold that thought, Tolagwe, hold on to the thought you want to share, because we need to take a break. I can't believe it's already time for a break, but Lagos, we'll take this break, come back, and then take some of your calls, because my phone lines are like going insane. Everybody wants to call and share their thoughts, share their experiences. If you're a new mom, how has your experience with breastfeeding been going? What are some of the things that you're having to deal with? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We're talking about the real experiences of breastfeeding mothers on today's Big Heart Facts. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. Don't go away.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What are the real experiences of breastfeeding mothers? That's our big conversation on the Big Heart Fact today. I said when we started that child nutrition and maternal health are crucial indicators for the economy and society. And I've been talking with amazing people. Ijeoma Ogwebu is a writer for film, TV and the stage. But today she's here as a mom. Tolagwe Marchings is a communication consultant who is also here today as a mom. And then we have an expert on the house, an expert on what children need to eat so that they can survive, an advocate, if you like, for the children. Somebody who say throw them kids away. Dr. Ayo Rena is a pediatrician, and he's got expert information on how that works. We're trying to get him back on the line. I think the call dropped out earlier on. Now, Tolagwe, you were making a point before we skipped off on the break. Do you remember what it was about?
Yes. It was just to focus on the fact that there's a couple of conversations that are happening here, and I don't want us to be speaking at cross purposes. Dr. Ayo is very correct, right? Mm-hmm. That on people who are living on less than $1 a day, or $5, whatever the figure is, I don't have it at my fingertips. Of course, exclusive breastfeeding is the logical and easiest option, right? And we talk about it. Breast milk is magical. I said that.
Yeah.
I said how it's always the right temperature, it's always available, right?
Right.
And it's wonderful.
Well, but 50-50 about always available.
Well, what I mean is once the flow, okay, so let's say,
once you open the tap,
let me put the conditions in place. Once you've established your latch and you're able to produce and you've been able to ginger your supply and then of course it will always be on tap, not like formula that will run out and that you'll be forced to make adjustments. That's what I'm saying. You know, you're never going to wake up at 3 a.m. I need to drive around town. I've seen this happen. I've seen a poor father, blurry-eyed, showing up at a pharmacy looking for a specific type of formula, right? Mm. You don't have that with breast milk. Mm. And that's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're having two parallel conversations.
Right.
We're also talking about a particular demographic who can afford formula if need be, but are being pressured. And, we talked about the famous video that is causing some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to you about how the performative nature of social media has even infiltrated breastfeeding to the point that people are showing off with their fridges and freezers full of pouches of Express breast milk. And someone who is maybe struggling to even just make enough to feed her baby is now feeling inadequate and bad, right? And that's the point, that we've got to keep the conversations somewhat separate.
Mm.
If we take it as a baseline, breast milk is good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you can do in there is okay.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, I don't know why Nigeria, that we like to manage, that we say do your best and leave the rest, we now turn breast milk into fight. Just like, of all the things, it, to me, it's just one more thing to police women about.
Dr. Ayo, I have to come to you. I've heard that another reason for the focus on exclusive breastfeeding in Africa is sanitation. So you've got formula that requires boiled, sanitized water, sterilized utensils and bottles. And there's a fear in public health circles that most African mothers don't live in the best conditions for that. Is the push for exclusive also tied to this? Is Aya there? Oh, I don't think Aya is there anymore. But we've got Ijoma there, right? Ijoma, is Ijoma there? Okay, something's going on. So let's try and sort that out. We've got the call screeners there. They'll try and solve that problem for us. I don't even think Ayo is there either. Okay, we'll try and get them back on the line. But yeah, just like you were saying just now, there are two conversations that should be happening at the same time. So we have two people from different socioeconomic groups in this conversation.
So I think it's important to make sure that we're distinct on that. Of course, if sanitation is an issue, power is an issue, you know, hygiene is an issue, this is nature, evolutionary mechanism fully in place. A mother can feed her baby, all things being equal. Right? So that is untouched. But let's talk now, and this is my thing, and this is something that affects every socioeconomic group. What happens when you have to go back to work? What happens when you're away from your baby? You know, Dr. Ayo even mentioned it. You have to go away for a week. What's the baby supposed to eat in that time, right? Presumably, the baby's going to either eat formula or expressed milk. Just yesterday, I saw someone who I know is a new mother talk about the pain of dropping a bottle of expressed milk. I have wept, sobbed like a baby. Me, the mother, crying. The baby, hungry, crying. Both of us crying because I had dropped, you know, the precious liquid gold, you know, in just a moment of clumsiness, I dropped it and I was weeping, sobbing. So I'm, you know, inconsolable. So is the baby. So, you know, this is, you know, you have to ask yourself, is it that, at that point, if someone got up and went to the shop and came back with formula and said, look,
Feed your child.
Is it the worst thing in the world? And the answer is, of course not.
I'm sure Dr. Ayo disagrees.
I want us to just maintain some perspective. That's all I'm saying, you know.
Dr. Ayo, are you back here? Is Ijoma back? I don't know what's going on, but we seem to not be hearing them. Can you hear me? All right, we'll give them a call back. We'll just end the calls and give them a call back. I don't know what that's about. But I want to circle back to that point you made about pressure earlier on, the pressure to breastfeed. In situations specifically where the mother isn't lactating a lot, I hear a lot of mothers complain about either people around them pressuring them or they themselves putting pressure on themselves.
There's a whole industry that has sprung up, you know, of teas and cookies and this and, you know, that, all these things that are supposed to help you produce more milk. You know, and, you know, that is, as far as I'm concerned.
But this is something that is not in the mother's control. So where is this pressure coming from?
This is my point, right? Exactly. It's really, some of it is biology. And, you know, I said it, that one of the misconceptions is that, for example, your breast size has anything to do with it. Some of it is genetic. Some of it is just, you know, it's just a bit, it's some chance, random, as to who can make more milk, much like how much hair grows out of your hair. And definitely, as Ijoma has pointed out, your state of mind has something to do with it. Many mothers will tell you that subsequent pregnancies and subsequent children were easier to breastfeed. But that's also in a way because you knew what to expect. You were more relaxed. You were more comfortable the second time round or the third time round or whatever. Maybe less traumatic. We won't even get into what's the effect of a traumatic labor on some, you know, like sometimes maybe you had a really traumatic labor. So that's going to affect your ability, the milk coming in also. So that's all we're saying, that let there be a bit more compassion about it. The example Jama gave of a matron chasing somebody out of the well baby clinic. Come on.
Formula.
You know, like, come on. Can we have some perspective
on
this?
Can we breathe?
And can they live?
You know? Ijoma and Dr. Ayo, I don't know if you can hear me, but we can't hear you. you in the studio. So I'm thinking this is a tech problem. So somebody get the tech in here so that they can solve this problem, because I'm not even finding it funny at all. It's not funny at all at all. But Lagos is calling in, so let's talk to Lagos for a little bit. 0700-993-993-993. We also have a number for women. I want to hear from women today. If you're a new mother, if you were a new mother, how was the experience for you? What was it like for you? If you've got questions, if you've got experiences, share with me. How's your breastfeeding journey going? How has it been? Before you had your baby, what did you think it would be like? And now that you've had your baby, what is it like? Is there a tendency to be quiet about this thing? What's causing that quietness about this particular problem? Even if you're not a new mom, you just have questions, go ahead and share them. All right, 99.3, hello. Hello? Okay. Oh, I think, I don't know.
It seems like it's just me and you today.
it does seem like that, doesn't it? Okay. I don't know what's happening, but I need it to stop. 99.3. Oh, finally. Yay. I think I solved it. I think I mistakenly clicked the wrong thing earlier. So it was my fault. But yes, we've solved that problem. The number for women, 01465-7190. Hello. Thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
My name is Enyichukwu.
Enyichukwu, are you a dad?
Yes, I'm a dad of three children.
Oh, good to have you on the show. What was your wife's experience like with breastfeeding?
My wife breastfed my first child for close to 2 years.
Wow.
But she did exclusive for 6 months.
Okay.
My second child was about 1 year, 7 months.
Okay.
That she breastfed. The third one, she's also trying to do the same.
Okay.
From my interaction with some women, like you talked about the misconceptions, some women are unwilling to breastfeed because they think, well, that is the truth. After breastfeeding, the breast goes flat. And so for them, they become unattractive to their husband or to their men.
Okay.
So because of that, they do not care about or make enough effort to breastfeed.
I see.
I usually tell my wife that the breast belongs to the children. It's for them to suck, not for me to suck. So, you know, so the best for me, once the children begin to come, is primarily for the children.
Feeding them. Hmm.
So, you know, I've been listening to your discussion. I think that, yes, there's a lot of challenge for women who breastfeed. Part of what I also think women should be to realize is the responsibility of motherhood is huge. Sometimes I feel bad that I cannot breastfeed my children, you know, in order to give my wife time to sleep. I wish I can, you know, I would, you know, voluntarily.
Well, you can now. There are hormones you can take now and you can breastfeed.
Or in practical terms, she can express and then you can use a bottle to do the night.
Also that, yeah.
That's a very practical way.
Also that.
Yeah, so when she expresses and gives me in the bottle, the baby doesn't feel like that's a breast. The mother to baby, you know, body contact, you know, is not there. So really, I wish that much more women would get a lot more committed. I know it's challenging, but if you look at the kind of effort that even women make in other aspects of their lives, in career and all that, for
so
me,
they should do this
children,
one too.
My children are my primary investment. I spend, like, you know, I listen to you all the time talk about responsibility of husband and wife. Right now, as I talk to you, my wife's a teacher. I'm a missionary. My last baby, we couldn't take him to daycare. I stay at home with that boy from morning till, around 2. When my wife comes back from work, then I go to the office because my own work is much more flexible. So we have that commitment to our children. They come first before money, before career and all that. You know, I listen to the doctor, you know, talk about the importance of breast milk. It can't be compared with formula. So let's not give formula as an alternative, except, like we have said, when, you know, nothing, when the breast milk doesn't just work. and then you have no option, then we can make do with formula, but it's really not the best.
All right, thank you very much for calling. Let's talk to Rafiat. Hello, Rafiat.
Hello.
Thank you for calling, Rafiat.
Yes. Hello, Mrs. Sandra. I am one of your fans. I think I love the program.
Thank you.
I want to share my breastfeeding journey.
Yes, please.
I've given birth to four of them. They're all grown-ups.
Okay.
I used to be a working mother. It is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Before I decided to go for exclusive breastfeeding, I read a lot of things on relating to breastfeeding and the importance of it. So I had already decided in my mind that anytime I have my children, this is what I'm going to do. Of course, it's not easy, because when you are working and you just have to go for expressing, I couldn't even get the best device that could help me express the milk. It's always painful, especially when I wanted to use a certain brand.
Mm.
So there's a lot of people keep introducing one brand and the other one. I eventually settled for a manual process of expressing the milk.
Mm.
In fact, it's so painful. But because I was just determined that I want to nurture a sort of child that will give me a lot of rest in the future, that is why I could get the energy and I was able to, you know, go through all the process of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I want to, I will express inside a cup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Please call back, Rafiat. We want to hear the rest of that story. If you just joined the show, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we're talking breastfeeding. We're talking about why breastfeeding has taken on the importance it has policy-wise. But we're mainly talking about the experience of mothers, the challenges of breastfeeding, the realities of breastfeeding, so that perhaps you're a bit more compassionate the next time you want to have a conversation about it with anyone. We've got Femi Naja on the line. Hello, Femi.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Good evening.
Thank you so much. I'm a listener of Hard Facts. I'm glad I'm getting through today.
All right.
I have three children.
Okay.
All of them on exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months.
Okay.
The last born, the girl, she was on exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months, and she continued for 5 years.
Okay.
Wow.
5 good years, and the mother is the CEO in her own office, so busy, but she devoted 6 years to my daughter.
Mm.
The benefits are tremendous.
Mm.
Health-wise, she's having 4 6. Academic-wise, she has achieved unbelievable feats.
Mm.
If I tell you something, you will wonder, you say it's not true. My daughter, at the age of 8, wrote GCE when she was in primary school and passed. And to my knowledge, she's the breastfeeding coupled with good parenting. She has achieved so many other feats. So I'm imploring mothers, especially incoming mothers, to devote time, to put career aside if possible, and breastfeed. The benefits cannot be overemphasized.
Right.
So my wife, just, I give her kudos, because her job is so, so demanding. That's why that she goes to office and back with our daughter. When it was time for my daughter to give up, she was 5. She refused. She said, "Dad, please, I want to beat the record."
I have to take a break, unfortunately, but thank you for calling
Lagos
us.
Lagos is massively recruiting independent sales executives that own a car and a valid driver's license. Are you ready to work with the company with the most history worldwide? Are you ambitious? A smart worker? Do you have a great attitude? Ready to take your career to the next level? Here is an opportunity for you. Please call 0815-705-0505 or 0905-637-4225. 858 to book for an interview.
Are you a salary earner and experiencing salary delays? In need of school fees, loan, or house rent? Does your business need expansion and you've got no money? Do you need a car or equipment for personal or business use? Worry no more. With Creditville Auto Lease and Flexible Loan Products, you are just a call away from achieving your financial goal. Simply dial 0805-510-0010. You can also send us an email via info@creditville.ng or log on to www.creditville.ng. Creditville, financing you for a good life.
To meet up your goals for the year, then here's the good news. Goals are easily achieved by choosing Creditville as a reliable credit assistance. Creditville is accessible and reliable at all times. With Creditville, interest rates are affordable, repayment plan is flexible, disbursement is processed within 24 hours. These and many more are the reasons why you should choose Creditville as your accessible and reliable financial partner. For more information, log on to www.creditville.ng. You can also send us an email via info@creditville.ng and you can give us a call on 080-55100010. Creditville. Loans. Investment. Leasing.
I don't know where the time goes, but that's always a sign that you're having a great conversation. I'm not giving 10K just yet. Don't worry. Calm down. Let's finish talking about breastfeeding. Then we can give away money. 99.3. Hello. 99.3. Hello?
Hello?
Thanks for calling. Are you a new mom? Are you a new mother? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, what's your name?
My name's Mary.
Mary, are you a mom?
No, no, I called for just a minute.
All right, we're not doing that just yet. 99.3. Hello?
Hello, Sandra.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm Roslyn.
Roslyn, good to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to talk about my experience.
Yes, please.
My first baby, I did exclusive for 6 months. Good. My second baby refused to collect. In fact, from 3 months, I was actually forcing him. So I had to use, I had to buy formula for him. And really, Sandra is expensive.
Yeah.
Buying from using formula just 2 days.
Yeah.
But the two, you know, I've tried them exclusive. I've tried just the problem with formula is when I'm going out, I have to be carrying carry flax, to carry this, to carry that, you know. But when I was feeding my first baby, just go, just carry my handbag and just go. You don't need to carry anything. But both are just okay because my babies are healthy. They are very healthy, both exclusive, and they don't fall sick easily. This one, the second one that didn't take him, that didn't collect breast, stopped breastfeeding from 3 months by on his own. Nothing, it's healthy. It's healthy. There's nothing wrong with you using formula. And really, if you can do exclusive, fine. I'm hoping this is my third baby will do exclusive because really, aside from being expensive, you have to be carrying bag everywhere you're going to. Even if you're going to just see, you're going everywhere because you have to feed him. So that's interesting.
Thank you very much for calling to share your experience with me. I'm grateful for it, Mary. Hello, thanks for calling. Sorry about that. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? What's your name?
Oh, my name is Sita.
Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Right. Welcome.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Just enjoying the program. Yes, I have 3 children.
Okay.
And in fact, I practiced the breastfeeding for my firstborn for 9 months. The second one, 1 year, 6 months. And then the third one, 1 year, 10 months.
Okay.
And they did very well. They were so brilliant, very good in academics, healthy. And, I enjoyed it. And my daughter now is already having her own children.
Okay.
And she's doing exactly the same thing, you know. I think it's, I advise every woman to do that. Yeah,
but nobody has said women don't breastfeed. But
some of them don't do it for a long time. That's what I'm